Summer is almost here, and you can now get almost anything you need delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? You can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get chicken parmesan delivered. Sunshine? No. Some wine? Yes. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. See app for details.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, last week on The Hard Shoulder, Nolene Blackwell, the human rights lawyer, placed She-Wolves, The Untold Story of Wall Street by Paulina Brenn up on the bookshelf this week. It is the turn of Eamon Ryan, who is not a former leader of the Green Party. He is a climate campaigner, he tells me before the break. Former nothing. Eamon, thanks a million for doing this for us. So what book is getting up on the bookshelf?
Now, I listened back a few months ago and you had a Terry Pronan on. She said it wasn't her favourite book, but you could say it was, for her, it was the latest book. Yeah. For me, it might be the most important book.
Okay.
And for me, one of the most important books I've read was by a Kerryman, John Moriarty. He wrote it in 2001. It was an autobiography called Nostos. He'd started writing books in about mid-90s. He died in 2007, unfortunately. But it biography was amazing for me because he was from Kerry, from Moyvan. He had gone to UCD, studied philosophy. He kind of travelled a good bit and went to Canada where he lectured in English. Had a bit of a nervous breakdown, I think maybe is the best way of putting it, and came back to Ireland, to the west of Ireland, to Tumbiola, and then in Connemara, if people know it, and then down to Kerry, his home, and died there, as I said, from cancer, unfortunately, in 2007. I met him, and I'd read the book, and I just, God, this is really important. This is really, because it's a philosophy. He was a mystic poet philosopher, mm-hmm. but I think it's of international importance in how we think about our connection to the earth and to each other. I think Paul Durkin had reviewed, or someone had in the Irish Times, said this is the most important thing he'd ever read. Tommy Tiernan would be the great hero he always had a very high regard for John Moriarty. And I was lucky. John, one of the things he would have, as a philosopher, mystic philosopher, he believed in synchronicity. And I had an experience of it where things just happen. It's like coincidence and they're kind of telling. And I met him through a friend, Gary McDarby, a friend of mine. I was meant to meet him in the Mater when he was ill with cancer, but he'd been discharged early. So we went down to Hughes's pub in Chancery Street, closed now, if people know it. Mary Hughes's was the owner. And I met him there. I'd met my wife in Hughes's pub in Chancery Street, sat dancing. So I sat down with him for 2 hours in the parlour above the pub. And it was probably the best 2 hours of my life in terms of listening to my hero. And one of the things I always remember, I quote, he said to me, he said, "Jesus Christ, Eamon, would you speak a little bit, put a bit of Robert Emmett's Passion from the Dock into it when you're speaking. Don't hold back," which I've lived to regret a few times since. But his book is about, he talks about harrowing the myths that we are not... we're destroying our planet and our life and our future on it. He kind of says, if we've done this thing where we can travel out from the Earth and look back when we traveled to the moon,
yeah.
and not reframe our relationship with the Earth, then we're going to be the iceberg on which it founders, it crashes. And his view was that the way to do that is to really understanding the deep mythologies that we live by. And not just Irish. He was very good on Welsh mythology, and Canadian, American, North American, Greek, and obviously European.
And the commonalities between those mythologies.
Yes. And I mean, listen, this is a tough read. Like, if you go out and get it, it's not exactly a page turner.
As an autobiography, it's not I was born here and then
well, it's fascinating. For me, it was fascinating here. Because I happen to know a lot of the places he talks okay. about. He lived in Church Road in Rathmines for a while, which I know very well. He lived with Lynn Hill in Tombiola, who I used to know through another way, another mechanism. And so a lot of people actually writes about in places I happen to know. And therefore, it was very interesting to follow it. But he also, he heads off into all sorts of use of Irish mythology that I didn't even know. And that deep understanding he has of Irish mythology, not just the kind of typical stuff we know, the kind of Cú Chulainn, Fianna, warrior stuff, but tapping into a lot of the, I suppose, feminine mythology, going back to Danu and Erin herself and all the gods that were there with a more feminine perspective. And coming out of that, what he calls a silver branch perception, a sense of being and living on this island, which is really, in my mind, the key to changing the way we live. And in fact, come back to it earlier on, he said, we shouldn't be worried about little, small, local things like what erode in Kilkenny. It's the exact opposite. What that perception tells you is that the local matters, the environment around you, the sense of purpose and place. And I tell you why it's important. And it's led me to read a lot about some of that thinking or that period, maybe going back in Irish history. And I was talking to a researcher yesterday in terms of, well, I was listening. Like Conor McGregor recently was in the White House and he was saying, you know, we're losing our Irishness. So what's Irishness? You know, where are we coming from? And I would listen to John Moriarty a lot on that because I think he has an incredible deep knowledge of our stories and where we come from. And particularly, I think what's interesting, going back to a few books that I happened to read recently that I think are significant on this issue about Irishness. There was a book by Frances Henry. She was an archaeologist on early Irish Christian art from the 4th to the 8th century.
Yeah.
And another book by Maura de Puer and Liam de Puer, her husband, on early Christian period. And another one, Tom Holland, you know the guy who does The Rest Is History?
Yeah.
He wrote a book, Dominion. Three stories from those, if I can just to back up
Dominion's
what John Moriarty
said. I've read that one.
It's a really interesting book.
Yeah.
Firstly, where did, you know, that golden period, our golden age, where we really informed the world, which Tom Holland writes all about.
This is when Irish missionaries would have
were
kind of trans-
the leading. Yeah. We were running Europe.
Yeah.
It came from Egypt. It came from a Coptic tradition. Like Dysart or Dridi is Dysart because it's a desert. We were thinking about that's a Coptic way of going into the wilderness and really getting an understanding of place and God in our place. The second, even the artwork, it was Syriac. It came from Syria. A lot of the kind of Book of Kells and all that other. The second thing, what they say, and these are the best archaeologists, historians we have of what was Ireland like in this golden age. It was incredibly welcoming to people who came here to the source of this wisdom.
Yeah.
So we sent monasteries all over Europe. And the people who then learned in those monasteries said, we want to go to the source.
Yeah.
And they came in huge numbers to what they started off as these kind of like Coptic cells, but turned into almost universities. Like if you look at Castlebar, a huge community, about 5,000 people in the early Christian period, a lot of them coming from abroad who are coming here, who we then had to house, feed and educate because there was part of that tradition. And I think that tradition of us being a welcoming place is really important in understanding what is Irishness. Then actually, if you go into the detail of another twist, which I was just reading yesterday, had you ever heard of the Two Eyes of Ireland?
No.
Two Eyes, Tala and Finglas. So that success of all those small monastic settlements becoming huge, being universities, there was a kind of a kickback, as it were, within the Irish Christian tradition to go back to the real hardcore source. And the monasteries that did that were in Tala and Finglas. They were the centres of the most cutting edge thinking. Unfortunately, the Vikings arrived and put an end to it.
Yeah.
But I just think, come back to what I said about local. Like from my sense of Tala and my sense of Finglas, that sense that these were the Oxford and Cambridge of Ireland in the 10th century. That's important to know. One other thing, if I can go back to John Moriarty, sorry for ranting here, but this John Moriarty does this for me. He's very Christian, but it's very, he connects to another writer. I don't know if you ever heard of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin.
No.
He was a French Jesuit. He was very important, actually, in the scientific world. He discovered Peking Man. It was a skull in near Peking, which really lengthens the understanding of when humankind's had, how long we'd existed, yeah, blowing the cover on any creationist thinking. But he also was a Jesuit. And what he did, it was a huge leap in Christian thinking. It wasn't published in his lifetime because the Pope and the others were very nervous about it. Mm. But it actually brought science and religion together. And understanding, and John Moriarty really speaks about this a lot in terms of that science had not served us on its own. It had broken down things into elements and systems, but not actually understood the role of man or woman, mm, or the role of faith and thinking. And I think Teilhard de Chardin brings a new form of evolution where actually it's at the center of this is the evolving human consciousness, the greater complexity and interconnection and love, which is the arrowhead of the evolution that's taking place in the universe.
Yeah.
And that then puts mankind center stage of the scientific understanding of what's happening and changing, mm-hmm, but also gives you a religious perspective dimension to it. There's a woman who writes, and there's a lot of very good women theologians, female for my sense, who really are bringing this further. Ilia Delio, she's a Franciscan nun in the States. She had a book, The Unbearable Wholeness of Being, which I've been reading.
Okay, yeah.
Which very much picks up on the philosophy that John Moriarty was talking about. This evolution as the key thing we need to do. And we need to do that to show we will not crash our natural systems and therefore ourselves and all that goes with it. And that's why I think Moriarty is important. If you were trying to win the climate argument, and I was going back to what I said this earlier, you know, a climate campaigner, we will not win it by trying to persuade people, oh, technical version this, or economic argument that. It has to be based on a sense of purpose and love and an inspiring kind of a mission where we are center stage everywhere, every one of us. And this doesn't just belong to Christianity. All the major religions in my mind reflect this same thinking. And it's center stage, not just what I was saying about Conor McGregor's argument about what is Irishness today, but you think of it wider. Like J.D. Vance is arguing that, you know, we should go back to what they call the Amoris, Ordo Amoris, the order of love, which is, yeah, kind of a medieval thinking that you kind of parse out your love to your own close people first and then things more distant or even the planet. You don't particularly, you know, you've less time for that.
Yeah.
And I think until there's an argument that counters that isn't part of the cultural war, isn't part of a religion versus science or left versus right, we will not make the scale of the leap we need to make to make this evolutionary leap. And that's why I think Moriarty is important. It's about philosophy and the stories we tell and the underlying values, which is going to be the key, in my mind, for us avoiding catastrophe. And that's why I think the book is important.
John Moriarty, Nostos, is the book that Eamon Ryan is placing up on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. I was going to ask you about other mentions, but you mentioned them anyway. Maura de Poyer's book with Leon de Poyer, Early Christian Ireland. And actually, the author, the name of the authors of that book is proof positive of the point you make about history of inward migration into this country, right, given that de Poyer's is very much a Norman name, as is Moriarty. And the McGregors are from Scotland. Honourable mention as well, The Unbearable Wholeness of Being by Ilia Delio, which Eamon as well has read most recently. Eamon, thanks a million for coming into us.
Right, thank you, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Summer is almost here, and you can now get almost anything you need delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? You can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get chicken parmesan delivered. Sunshine? No. Some wine? Yes. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. See app for details.